it up, man. I love it. I just really enjoy it. It's just... Y'all excited to be here today? I know I've asked you that a couple times, but listen, we do New Life Sunday here at Baptism Sundays are wild here, y'all. We do things a little bit different. I want to ask in the room, like, how many of you were raised? How many of you were raised Pentecostal? How many of you were raised Pentecostal? Yeah, yeah. How many of you were raised Baptist? Wow. Southern Baptist. How many of you were raised like Lutheran or Methodist or Catholic? Oh, wow. Praise God you got converted. I'm just playing. Just playing. No, y'all. The reason why I wanted, how many of you were raised like not even in a Christian home at all? Yeah. Yeah. Incredible. God's good, man. I asked that question just because I want to make sure that as I kind of dig into the word really quick, that you kind of understand what's going on here today, okay? So we do baptism a little bit different. We don't do the sprinkle. I want to make sure y'all understand. So I'm going to actually walk through a text, and I'm going to explain baptism to you. I'm going to explain why we call this New Life Sunday here at Lifegate Church. I wanted to make sure to ask that. Would you, if you would be so kind to do so, it is our tradition here to stand for the reading of the word. So if you don't mind standing, it'd just be three verses. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 28. If you have your Bible and you want to turn there, I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 18. I promise I won't preach too long, but I do want to make sure to help you understand some things about what's going on today, because I don't want for you to be just in the dark on everything. So anyways, let's read it. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. I want to remind some people today that the enemy's been talking to you. You had some demons in your ear telling you who you are and who you're not. Jesus has the final say. There's no authority in that demonic tongue that's been whispering in your ear. Okay, because he said, I have been given all authority. There's nothing that gets past Jesus. Come on, he is the end all be all. Okay, let's go to the next verse. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this. Y'all listen. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God, I pray that today would change some people's lives in here. I pray that something that you say through my lips and my words would change the course of their direction in life today. God, I want you to be I want to simply be your vessel. Let my words be your words, my thoughts be your thoughts, my tongue be your tongue. I turn myself over to you, God. Now pierce our hearts and pierce our minds. Change us today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, you can be seated. Look at the person next to you today. And just tell them, I hope you don't cough on me too much because of these. It's pollen, man. What is up with this stuff? I still ain't got my voice like fully back. I don't know if y'all heard me starting to crack right there at the end of that song I was singing. But hey, listen. All right, so I want to start straight from the beginning. Okay, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. I want you to start off by understanding that the best thing that's ever happened to you is when you give Jesus your life. Because it is so much better for your life to be in his hands than it is to be in your own. Do you understand that? Like the moment in time when you say, I want to make sure to give my life back to my creator, because the creator knows what his creation needs better than the created one does. Amen. Once you make a decision, you say, hey, I'm going to give my life back to him. You're giving him You're giving your life to the one who has created you, who has all authority, and it is so much better when you do that, okay? So I wanted you to get that, let's get that right out of the way, okay? Because I want to talk about five elements today that you're going to see. You're going to see five different elements today, and I want you to understand what those things are, why we're doing them, what they mean to you and me, and what they mean to the person being baptized, okay? So we got five different things I want to discuss today. The very first thing, okay, the very first thing, somebody say the water. The water. I mean, you can't have baptism, a water baptism at least, without water. I mean, you can have a Holy Ghost baptism. We'll douse y'all in that later. You came to a Pentecostal church today. You might have come in Baptist, but you leave in Pentecostal. I'm just saying. No, but the water, okay? Now, the water doesn't have any specific properties necessarily, right? You're not saved or cleansed just from dipping yourself in the water. That's not what the water is. The water represents the blood of Jesus, right? The water represents, it also represents something that we call the death, right? Or you have to, how many of you understand that when you were first born, you were born in, what do you come out of? What do they say when the pregnant lady, water breaks, right? Or water breaks, right? So when we were formed in our mother's womb, we were being formed in the water. So it's interesting to me, like how many think about this? So like, the Bible tells us that the water in the oceans was poured out of heaven down onto the earth, right? So the water is heavenly. It's very purifying, right? It's got purifying qualities to it. It's interesting that we get baptized in water and that was a command given to us to be baptized in the water when we were confessing with our mouth, and then we go to the water to be baptized. It's just so interesting to me that the water was poured out from heaven. We are first birthed when the water breaks, and so it's interesting and very fitting to me that the Lord has us go into the water for our new birth in Christ. I love the water, and I love the water, and I love how it's used in the Bible. There's a story in particular that I love in the Bible, and it's a story of the Israelites. And I don't know if you remember the story, but in Exodus, there was a time where the Israelites were held in captivity and bondage for 430 years, okay, by the Egyptians. And they were held in captivity, and they were held in bondage, and then God finds this man named Moses, right, and he says, hey, I need you to go back and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Now, there's a backstory on Moses, and I ain't got time to get into it. But he says, go to Pharaoh, tell him to let my people go. So he tells him, and there's a lot of things that happen, and God hardens his heart, and then he decides to let him go. And then God hardens his heart, and he decides to let him go. And then this whole thing happens, but finally they get let go. And they start walking, and they start going. And these people that have been holding them captive for so long, these Egyptians, all of a sudden they get to this body of water called the Red Sea, or in certain translations, the Sea of Reeds. All right, and so they get up to this water, and all of a sudden, there's nowhere to go. And the Egyptian army's coming from the back, and Moses is like, what am I going to do, Lord? And God said, I already made a way for you. I've already made the way. Moses, stop asking me. You know what to do. So he lifts his hands, and holds his hands up, the water begins to split, and the water begins to depart, and all of a sudden it looks just like this aisle here, and this it's like there's this parting, and the water is on both sides, and all of a sudden the Israelites begin to walk through. So they walk through, and they get to the other side, and then all of a sudden here's the Egyptian army coming, following from behind. And what's so interesting to me about this story is they all, listen, every single one of the Egyptian army, every one of them riding on their chariots, One by one, start getting in the middle of the water. And all of a sudden, after the last person comes in, the water crashes on them. And the Bible tells us that every single one of them drown. So what does that have to do with us? What that has to do with you is when you go under that water, God doesn't want for him to just get a little sprinkle. He wants you to make sure that you understand he doesn't want just part of your enemies to be drowned. Come on. He doesn't want just part of your sins to be drowned. He doesn't want for just part of your bondage, for you to escape part of your bondage and then just want to run back to it one day. No, no, no. He made sure that every single one of the Egyptian army people that were in that military got in the middle of the water so he could completely destroy every single one of the enemy. I came to tell somebody today, God does not do a halfway job. He does not part of the way drown your enemies. He does not part of the way set you free. He does not halfway do anything. We have a God in heaven who is awesome, and he's mighty, and he's powerful, and he's great, and he wants to make sure that whatever you are stuck in your past, you are never stuck in your future. That is the type of God that you serve. The water represents the drowning of your sins, the drowning of your past self. So, right, so when you go into the water and you get in there, then we have something that happens. We call it the submersion, right? There's a word, the Greek word here, that's used in verse 19. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, that word there in the Greek is baptiste. And that word is literally meant for a full-blown submersion, right? Because God doesn't want half of your life. He doesn't want a portion of your life. He wants you to put your entire life in his hands. So when you go under, it's signifying the death of Christ as well as the death to your former self. Because God doesn't want for you to halfway give him anything, just like he's not a God who will halfway give you anything. And so when you go under the submersion, we're doing that because that word in Greek is making sure to let us know we got to go all the way. Because Jesus went all the way when he died on the cross for our sins. Come on, he didn't just hang up there for a minute and decide he wanted to get down and said it was too hard or too difficult. He never one time made a comment about, hey, no, let me down. No, what? Not one time did he say, let me down. He stayed up there and finished the job. And so you and I have to make a decision that we're going to finish the job. We're going to make sure we die to ourselves. It signifies us leaving the earthly citizenship. Right, because many of you understand the Bible says that the ruler of the world is Satan, right? And so when you're going under and you're submerging yourself, what you're saying is I know I was born into sin. I don't care what sin you were born into. But whatever you were born into, I don't care. I just want to make sure that you're born again in Christ. Come on. That's all we care about. All right, so here he is. He's born into sin. We're all born into sin. And the only way to overcome the world is right to make sure that we die to ourselves and become on the way up, we're leaving our citizenship of earth. And our first citizenship is the citizenship of heaven. We now belong to a different kingdom. Come on, is that not exciting to you? Have you looked outside and seen how crazy this world is? Praise God, I belong to a kingdom where the king never messes up, where the king makes every right decision, where the king is just, where the king is righteous, where the king is holy. And every time I look to him and I know he makes a decision, he's faithful and he's true. And I never have to worry about the decision that he makes on my behalf, because that's the kingdom I'm born into when I rise. Come on. So the first thing is the water. The second thing is the submersion. The third thing that you're going to see is the rise. Okay? You're going to see them pop up out of there. And every single time that every single person rises up out of that water, it's a cause for celebration. It was interesting. Miss Gloria and I were having this conversation. It's always cool how the Holy Spirit always confirms things. We were having this conversation earlier this week, and tomorrow's her birthday. Happy birthday. Hey, yesterday was my daddy's birthday. Happy birthday. And so here we are. We're talking about this conversation we're having about the angels rejoicing every single time that someone comes to know Christ. But the thing is that the angels were never redeemed. They've never been redeemed. Do you understand what it means to be redeemed? It means that you walk through life, you got beaten down, you got broken, You got heartbroken. You went through pain. You went through trauma. You went through a whole heap of mess. And all of a sudden, you became something that didn't even look like your how you were created to be. But I want you to remember after every single time that someone comes up that they are a new creation in Christ. And they're making a public declaration that Jesus came in and my creator reformed me. Because I don't know if you remember this about the Bible, but the Bible says that before you were even born, I knitted you together in your mother's womb. You have a God that knows exactly how you were supposed to be created. He don't make mistakes. He don't mess up. And I want to remind you of something today, that whatever he did when he was in your womb, knitting you together, when you get saved, he's the creator that can put you and form you back to the way you were supposed to be. It don't matter what you got hooked on. I don't care if drugs messed up your face. God redeems. He restores. And I love to see when we baptize somebody and somebody who was hooked on something in the past and their whole body looked different. Their face looked different. And I've seen where the Bible talks about, you know, when John was sitting there and it said, like, I saw the Holy Spirit descending in the form of a dove. Y'all, when God redeems, he redeems all the way. And I don't know if you've seen somebody's face or smile after they've gotten saved, after living a life of depression, a life of anxiety, a life full of suicidal thoughts, a life filled with being hooked on drugs or alcohol. It changes your countenance. But the Creator, my God, but the Creator comes back in and he forms you right back to the way that you were supposed to be. That is who our God is. And so every single time you see somebody come up, they've said, I have been redeemed. And every time someone raises up out of that water, you ought to remember where the blood of Jesus met you. You ought to remember the time when you gave your heart to him. You ought to remember the time that you were saved. You ought to remember the time that you were redeemed. You ought to remember and celebrate. Because it's a celebration. If it's a celebration in heaven, how much more should we celebrate right here? I want y'all to leave today with your voices out because you've screamed and shouted and hollered so much because you're so excited that hell lost another one. You ought to give him praise that every time someone raises up out of that water, we say in the hell, you lost another one. Become a balasa. You lost another one, devil. I know you had him bound in depression. I know you had him bound with anxiety. I know you had him hooked on drugs. But you lost another one. They belong to the citizenship in heaven. They belong to the king. They belong to the king. They belong to the king. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. Yeah. Get up. Y'all ought to remember the grave you used to be in. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Yeah, get up, get up, get up. Get up out of, get up out of that. Get up, get up, get up. Hey, get up out of that grave. Yeah, get up, get up. Get up out of that. Get up, get up, get up. Yeah, get up out of that. Hey, get up, get up, get up. Yeah. All right. We got two more things to get to real quick, all right? Two more things. All right, so we got the water, the submersion, and the rise. Somebody say, he got up. So can you. All right. The fourth thing, the church. I want you to look around at the people next to you. I've heard so many people in the past say, you know, I love the Lord, I'm saved, but I don't go to church. Filled with a bunch of hypocrites. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah, you are too. Remember that. But I always remind people when people start getting at me about, well, I don't like the church. I don't go to church because church full of hypocrites. Church was mean to me. I got hurt by the church. I want to remind you what the Bible says about the church. The Bible says the church is the bride of Christ. And I'm going to tell you what. You want to make me mad and turn out of Pastor Jamie and into somebody else you don't want to see? Talk about my wife. Talk about getting my hands thrown. Quick! Say something about my wife. You want better access to me? Get closer to my wife. Because I will do things for my wife that I will do for nobody else. And if you could convince my wife to ask me something on your behalf, I'm a whole lot more likely to answer my wife than I am you. With you coming in here with all your demands and problems and all this other stuff, coming and hollering at me. Don't talk bad about the church. Let me tell y'all something real quick. Y'all better be careful when you talk about the church, because that's the bride of Christ. And if it meant enough to him, it ought to mean something to you. It ought to be important enough to you to not talk negatively about the thing that your Savior loves so much. So when you leave your old life and you rise up, the church is where you're supposed to go. Because the church is the place where you leave your old stuff and your old life and the old places you used to go. You come to church. All right. The fifth thing and the final thing, the testimony. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 said, and they overcame him, the enemy, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You and I are sitting here today because someone opened up their mouth and told you about Jesus. And it's about time for the church to stop being quiet and get bold again and walk into your workplaces saying, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about my Savior who died for me. He died for you. He loves you with all his heart. I know you've been in a messed up place. I know you've been in a hard place. But there's this man named Jesus. You got to meet him. You got to meet him. You got to know him. It's about time for the church to make a decision that I will not be silent. The enemy has been trying to quiet us for too long. No longer can you just say, well, they'll see how I live. No. Yeah, they'll see how you live, but most of them are going to judge you for how you live. But when they finally reach that point where they say, I can't do this anymore, I need Jesus. How are they going to know what they need if you have not opened up your mouth and told them about him? Come on, they may spit on you, they may shut you out, they may shut you down, but time and time again, open up your mouth and tell them about Jesus, because one day they're going to say, hey, that one guy, hey, he told me about Jesus the other day, and I know he's been telling me for years, and I know he's been saying he's the answer, and at some point in time, you're going to find out that somebody heard what you said. You may get spit on, you may get cussed at, you may get pushed away. But at some point, they're going to look at you and they're going to say, I need to talk to you because you told me about somebody that's the answer to all my problems. Young people, y'all hear me. Don't you go into your schools. and be hesitant. I know Lee University is supposed to be the most Christian school, but I know there's a whole lot of people that don't believe in Jesus. Tell them about your Savior. Tell them in the schools. Tell them in your workplaces. Talk to them about Jesus. Because at some point in time, they will come back to you. So I ain't gonna wait no longer. All of you wanting to get baptized, girls head this way, guys head this way. And I want y'all to remember, church, every time they go down and come up, what you gonna do? Come on. Every time they go down and come up, what you gonna do? Come on, every time they go down and come up, what you gonna do? Give him glory, give him praise.
Hey, I'm Pastor Jamie, lead pastor here at Lifegate Church in Dalton, Georgia, and I just want to say thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We hope that whether you're watching this live or you're watching this at a later time, that it brings value to your life. We would love to have you join us in person if you're ever in the Dalton area. We're at 2744 Cleveland Highway in Dalton, Georgia. If you'd like to know more about what's going on or how you could get connected with us here at Lifegate Church, just go to lifegatedalton.com. We would love to get you plugged in some kind of way and let us know if there's any prayers or anything we can do for you. Once again, thanks for joining us today. God bless.